Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon or good evening. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. Well, I wandered over from back from self-help to spirituality, and I'll in the headings and all this stuff, because I'll wander back and forth depending on what kind of mood I am every day, because I like to help people, and that's all about is helping people to find happiness, you know, to answer your questions, spirit-directed, intuitive, guided, letting my spirit guide the group, my council, to help you. I call it the council. They call it the council, which is a group of enlightened masters that like to present information to you. So I'm not going to channel right now. I'm just going to see who calls in and see who wants to talk. But the theme of the show today, now I have to do something because I don't believe this. And I absolutely do not believe it. I read it and I don't find, you know, I'm skeptical of it, but I got to pass it on anyway because it's the strangest thing I've read in a long time. Okay. Now, if anybody's known anybody who's struggled with bipolar, schizophrenia, and depression, and various other mental illnesses, which are caused generally by chemical imbalances in the brain, they're physiological problems. Now, there are behavior problems also, but a lot of the mental illness, believe it or not, is caused by chemical imbalances in the brain. And seeing a psychiatrist, medical doctors with a proper prescription and behavioral guidance, you know, cognitive therapy, people can get back into living a somewhat normal, healthy life. Okay? You know, bipolar people have been able to function even though some of them don't like the medication. So I read this article, and this is not, oh, I forgot, it was in the magazine, it was on the internet. Okay, the internet, like we trust it, right? Okay, but I have to read this anyway. It's all about the state of Texas, the beautiful state of Texas. The heading was, Texas Governor Vetoes Mental Health Bill Because He Doesn't Believe Mental Health Is Real. I hope you don't live in Texas, and I hope this is not true, because this is very discouraging for the head of a state to actually say this sort of thing. So we'll just go through the article real quick, and then we'll get on to the other stuff that I wanted to talk about, which is really all about to be what you want to be, to think in terms of what you want. If you want to be love, if you want love, you have to be love. And we'll get into that in a minute. But let me go through this. Even though Rick Perry receives a fair share of criticism for his actions as governor of Texas, there are some believe that his successor, Greg Abbott, has revealed himself to be even crazier ideas. Examples include appointing someone who was homeschooled by Christian parents to oversee the state's public education system and organizing the State Guard troops to ensure that President Obama doesn't invade Texas during the recent military exercises. A recent investigation has uncovered that even more troubling was Abbott's part shaping mental health policy based on advice from Scientologists. Ooh, okay. Now, those that are joining me, this one article, it just kind of struck me as like, really? I don't believe it, but I'm going to pass it on. And if it's truth, if you live in Texas, you got to tell me, is this crazy or what? Or is this true? I don't know. It's about the governor of Texas. But if anybody lives in an area where they're being governed by this kind of situation, I'd be really careful. Okay, so Governor Abbott recently vetoed a bipartisan bill which would give resources to medical professionals to help residents dealing with mental health problems. The bill in question was widely popular, supported by large medical associations in the state and both political parties. Instead, Abbott killed the bill after receiving information from a Scientology group which believes that mental illness are a myth and that treating them causes more harm than good for the patients. And if you know a little bit about Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard was strongly opposed to psychiatry in its all its form. And if you've seen the movie about him, you can see where he was like, you know, I don't want that stuff. Okay. and in its form, and even compares mental health professionals to terrorists in some of its publications. So one of the reasons why the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, the group run by Scientologists, opposed the bill is because it contained a provision that would have prevented patients from refusing mental health care if they were determined by physicians to be a danger to themselves or to others. Now, if you're in Texas, and I would love to have you comment on that, if you believe it or don't believe it, I just read that and I go, really? Come on. And that's not my purpose here, is to get into the political thing about it. But okay. But we'll leave it alone. Let's get back into what I was going to talk about. It is about visualization. It's about what you want in life. Let me give you a quote. I go from the Abraham material a lot. And I'll give you an Abraham quote. I think it's going to tie in really nicely with the discussion today. Okay. So this is from the Abraham material, you know, presented by Esther Hicks, and they've been doing this for over 20. Esther's been doing this for about 30 years now. And Abraham is a group of non-physical entities that present their material to Esther, and Esther and her husband, late husband, would present this material all over the world. Okay, so this is from a quote from 1997 in a workshop in San Francisco. You are vibrational writers of the script of your life, and everyone else in the universe is playing a part that you have assigned to them. I love that. You are vibrational writers of the script of your life. In essence, what Abraham is saying, now you agree or disagree, and if you have a different point of view, I'd love to hear it, because it's not necessarily just my point of view or Abraham's point of view. Everybody has a different background and a different upbringing, spiritual upbringing. But basically, you are the creator of your future. Your thoughts, emotions, and thoughts and emotions create your future. So what I'm getting to in all this is, if you want love, you have to be love. If you want to attract love, if you want to attract money, we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's talk about love for a moment. If you want to attract love, then you have to be giving love. You have to be in the state of love, not necessarily romantic per se love, but you have to be a loving person. If you want compassion in your life, you want people to be compassionate to you, then you need to be compassionate to yourself and extend compassion out to others. What you're thinking, what you're feeling, and what you're visualizing is what you're going to create in your life. I remember I read an article just the other day, and I shared it in one of my recent shows, from a lady, from a writer named Pam Grout, who has people calling in, and she calls it the field of possibilities. It's the same thing as manifesting from what you envision. And this woman wrote in about the dude, the man she wants to attract in her life, and she visualizes this man. She actually talks to this man. I mean, he's not in her presence, not in her life yet, but she knows that he's so real. It's so real to her that she talks to him. She shares her dinners, in a sense, not that she puts a plate on the table for him, but she, you know, she talks about her dinner and talks about plans and talks about, you know, their relationship hasn't happened yet, because she's making him real. So you make it real. I remember this quote, and it was a little thing about, they had the picture of one of the minions on it, and it was basically about money. I'm feeling rich except for one thing, I don't have enough money. So if you're feeling rich, if you have this attitude of wealth, this belief in money, believe that money is something that, well, let's use the word entitled to, but that, I don't know if that's the best expression here, that you deserve money, that you, why not? You know, you deserve money, you deserve wealth, you deserve whatever it is. And that is something that you're entitled to. Then you visualize it, you feel it, you know, your essence is all about. Then it happens. The same thing with work. You know, you're unemployed, but you visualize yourself working. You put yourself out there. Now, I have an article I thought it would be really interesting on this subject, and it was kind of related. I'm trying to twist things around a little bit to kind of fit into the subject. Now, I will take your calls. I want to take your calls. And if you have questions, spirit, and now let me kind of set this up a little bit. Spirit will give you predictions. Okay, there's no question about them doing that. They do that all the time. But they do follow up on how do you get there? How do you make it happen in your life? You know, it's that whole thing about your vibration that you're putting out is attracting what you get in your life. So if your prediction is about a relationship or where it's going, how it's going to get there, what is your attitude? What is your feelings? What is your thought patterns about that? Are you tripped up on some negative patterns which keep you from getting there? And Spirit will comment on that. Because I've done psychic work for over 20-something years, in intuitive work, a channel. You know, I've talked to dead people. I've talked about people's past lives. And sometimes past lives will hold you up from getting there. Could carry some energies with you into this lifetime. But the main point I'm making is if you want a prediction about when the boyfriend coming, when am I getting a job, you got to listen to the second part of it, and which is what you have to do to make it happen. Because I talk about collapsing time. Even if the prediction is a month from now, or 6 months from now, or a year from now, I hated those, you know. Oh, you're going to meet somebody in 6 months. And really, come on, guys. Because I, being, you know, like an intuitive psychic, I had a lot of friends who were psychics, and we kind of exchanged readings, and I would hear this, well, it's about a year away. And you're going, really? You know, like, I don't want to wait a year. So I talk about collapsing time. So with your emotions, with your visualizations, with your attitude about it, you can collapse. You can bring it into your now. Because you want it right now. Whatever it is, you don't want to wait for 6 months, right? You don't want to wait a year. You don't want to wait 3 months. You want it right now. Now, there's another part of that. So that's what I like to talk about with people. And let Spirit work with you and bringing it into your now. Okay, we all want it now. But the other part of that is you're expecting the universe or God to bring it to you, right? But sometimes things have to be aligned. The right person has to be available. You know, maybe they're going through a divorce. Maybe they're traveling. Maybe they're, or, you know, maybe that job hasn't opened up yet. The person's going to retire in 3 months and they see that. And that's the opening that you want. So sometimes you have to be, the key word here is patient, because the universe is working to align it. And sometimes they'll give you, it's months away, because that's what it takes. So it takes it to be aligned. So don't get discouraged if things don't happen immediately. Now, sometimes by changing attitude, by changing an emotional feeling about something, getting rid of negativity and negative beliefs, you can bring it into the now. But a lot of times, the universe is still working. God is still working on arranging things. Okay, so don't get discouraged. And what can you do to make it happen now, sooner? Well, that's all. You know, and that whole thing about visualization, and if you want to talk about it, that's what Spirit will help you do. Help you to get there a little quicker. Okay, so take your calls. If you have questions in the chat room, I'd love to chat with my friends in the chat room and see what's going on in your lives. See what's going on with you. Okay, so let me get back to the article I was going to cover, because that was kind of tying into this whole subject matter in a kind of a roundabout way. So let me get into the article. I thought this was interesting. This is from beliefnet.com. And I'm not sure who the individual that wrote this, because it just gives me the name Evan. And I don't know who Evan is. But I thought it was an interesting subject. It was 10 Life Lessons from President Lincoln. And it was based on the movie. So it was based on the movie. So let me, you know, the one that Steven Spielberg directed about Lincoln, with what's-his-name acting in it. Yeah, I always got to forget his name. Okay, yeah, I'm like the space puppy here on names sometimes. Daniel Day-Lewis came back to me. Okay, so Courage Under Fire. Lincoln faced relentless criticisms from his opponents and those within his own party. He stayed attuned to his North Star, engaging with critics without losing his vision. Okay. Got that? Now, that's something we've been talking about. don't lose sight of your vision, what you want to see, what you want in your life. You can get discouraged and get down. Oh, it's taking too long. People, naysayers in your life will say, well, that can't happen. You can't be this or you can't be that. But no, continue to envision it. Continue to see it. Continue to feel it. Just know that what it is, okay? Okay, so just continue to see what you want. And with your attitude and with a positive outlook on life and ridding yourself of the negativity and avoiding negativity in your life and negative beliefs, that's one of the things I work with people on is finding out what the negative beliefs are that you may be carrying around with you since you're 7 years old to help you to rid yourself of these negative beliefs and change them into positive. You know, it's that quote about the idea of contrast. You know, if you see something you don't like, it's easier to move to something you do like because you can see the contrast. You know, if you didn't know what sour was, then you would never know what sweet is, right? Or light and dark and all those contrasts, hot and cold. You know, if you'd never felt really, really cold, you probably wouldn't appreciate heat or the other way around. You know, if you're always living in 90 degrees, you'd never experience what it's like to live in 60 degrees or 50 degrees. So you can see the contrast in life. Okay, moving back to the article. Moving right back. So what are we doing here? Okay, so the next one, compassion at all times. And I've been reading about compassion and self-compassion and having compassion for yourself and letting go of stress and being at peace and all those good things. And that how that having compassion for yourself can physically benefit you and rid yourselves of inflammations in your body. Now, I'd have to share it with you. The author on this, his name is, and he's a PhD, and his name is David R. Hamilton. So if you get it, his book that I've been reading, I'll give you the title of the book, and it's about halfway into the book. He talks about this whole idea of self-compassion and how self-compassion can help you physically, not just mentally. They're not just to be relaxed, okay? So let me give you the title of the book in a minute. It's I Heart Me, The Science of Self-Love. And I think on the book covers there's a picture of a heart, you know, the little red heart. But I Heart Me, I Love Me, The Science of Self-Love. And the author again is David R. Hamilton. He's from Scotland, an amazing man, amazing writer. He was a PhD. He had a PhD in chemistry and some other things. And his original profession was working for pharmaceutical companies. Yeah, sometimes you think they're companies, countries, right? And designing drugs for heart disease and some other things. But he's always had a very spiritual take on life. And so at some point he decided, you know what? I want to help people in a little different direction. Okay, so let's get compassion at all times. Let me read the little thing here. The film is filled with scenes of Lincoln reaching out to those who disagree with him, speaking to them with empathy and kindness. Do we do that? You know, when we approach somebody, let's say they're the other end of the political spectrum, you know, like the Texas governor, which I kind of go, wait a minute. Can you have empathy for that person? Can you have compassion for that person? Can you try to walk in that person's shoes? Where do they come from? What is their, why, how can they get to that attitude? Okay, so having, but I'm going to turn that around. It really starts with self-compassion, being kind to yourself, not being too hard on yourself, not being negative upon yourself. So again, visualizing what you want, and if you're always self-doubt and questioning it and going, oh, that'll never happen to me, you know, no, you got to have self-compassion. You have to have trust too, but we won't get into that right now. Trust, that's a big one, right? Trust. Patience, we talked about that a little bit. Patience. Lincoln did not achieve all his objectives at one time. He kept his goal in mind, and each decision and action pointed to his final goal. It's that patience. And I always think when I talk to people and present the ideas that Spirit is presenting to me, they always talk about this idea that life is a bunch of stepping stones, that you have to wait for the stepping stone to put down. The universe has to put the stepping stone in front of your God or spirit, however you look at it, or your own self-conscious, your higher consciousness. You have to wait for the stepping stone to be put down to step on it. You have to wait for things to be in alignment to get there. And I talked about that in a few minutes ago. It's that all that idea about, yeah, it's got to be there. You know, the universe has got to align that person to be in your life. You know, maybe they have to move from Timbuktu to be close to you, so make an arrangement, right? But continue to visualize what you want. And I'm always reminded, don't get hung up. And I have friends that do this all the time. They get hung up on there's only one person. And in the 7 billion people on the planet, there's only one person. No. I remember in some of the Abraham talks, and I agree with this, and I can, you know, validate this from other places. There's lots of people out there. There's lots of soulmates. There's, well, I won't get into numbers, but there's so many of them. So when you ask the universe to bring somebody to your life, they're going to parade people in front of you. And you go, yeah, no, yes, no, and maybe let's try that one. Because there's so many people that you could connect with. I remember reading a statistic a while back that it was like 1 out of every 22 people you can connect with. Not necessarily romantic. So don't get hung up on this idea of the only. So I cringe when I hear that I'm looking for my twin flame or I'm looking for my soulmate. Maybe they're not here. Maybe they're kind of like your guide and they're guiding you through life if there is such a connection as a twin flame and they're not in a physical form. So don't get hung up on the search for the holy grail of a person. There are plenty of people out there that you can have a relationship with if you're looking for a relationship, right? If that's important to you. But jobs, a lot of other things, it's the same deal. It really is. So don't get hung up on the one and only. Okay, so let me get back to the article. I'm kind of wandering off a little bit. This is just a lot of my things that I've read, Spirit has told me, I've channeled, I've read, you know, through the years doing this for, geez, how long now? Living? Living for a long time and reading a lot and going to school for this and all this stuff, right? Resolve. Even with compassion and patience, Lincoln never gave up on his achieving the end of slavery. So that was his goal, right? The end of slavery. It was one of his goals. Okay. It would have been much easier to settle for less, especially when his advisors suggested he do so. Like the greatest leaders in history, he did not. So he kept sticking to that goal to make that happen. Now, here's a note for you about that thought. And I remember watching an interview that Oprah did with Jon Bon Jovi, the musician, if you know who he is, right? And you know, he at the time, I think he was approaching 40 or 50 or some age. You know, he'd been in the music industry for a number of years. And you think, oh, he's done it all, right? He's done it all. He's achieved it all. And he said, no, I've climbed this mountain. And just on the other side, I see a new mountain to climb. So it never ends. It's a never ending process of new mountains to climb. Life is exciting because there's a never-ending amount of challenges. Now, if Lincoln would have lived the end of slavery, but he would have had a new challenge to conquer, okay? That's what it's all about. Don't give up. Don't think, this is it, I'm done. No, there's always new challenges. You know that. I'm just kind of babbling on here about stuff, but always know that there's something new to envision, something new to see in your life, some next goal, the next goal, the next goal. And it's like life purpose changes. You know, life purpose at 20 is much different than life purpose at 40 or 60 or 80. It doesn't mean you have to give up on life. It's just it changes and your purposes change. Okay, so moving right along. Okay, so we're going to go back to the next part of the article. So if anybody wants to call in, they want to talk about this, you have questions for Spirit about your life and what's going to happen, how to get there, what's going to happen and how to get there. That's two key points. And maybe why. There's some why in there too, isn't there? Some why about why should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Why do this? Is this really part of my life purpose? Okay, let Spirit answer that. The power of story. I love this. Lincoln tells stories throughout the film. At first, they seem unconnected to the issue at hand. Yet, by the time he finishes them, we see the wisdom they carry. Stories inspire in a way that facts and figures cannot. Now, I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, well, how does that relate to our topic today? How do we? His thing, his stories about life, and if you watched the movie, it was really fascinating that how would he weave these stories. You know, some of his opposers were like, oh, here he goes again, telling another story. You know, or even his aides were like, oh, here goes another story. But his stories carry with it the vision of what he saw for the future, the vision of where he wanted the nation to go, the vision of where he wanted to go. So I would ask the question, what is your story? You know, we're back to this visualization of what you want. What is your story? If you were to sit down and write, what is your story for the future? How would you write your life? What would it look like in 5 years, 10 years? There's nothing wrong with that. What do you envision your life to be? If you're going to write a book about your future, what would it be? What's your story? And I ask you kind of like, yeah, let's hear it. What's your story? You know, and I'm not going to get into my story right now, but my story is doing this, really. It's my story is taking this of, okay, communicating ideas that I get from Spirit, a direction I get from Spirit, and taking it to the next level and to the next level and to the next level, to more people, to more people, to more people, all with the idea of inspiring you to find your purpose, to get rid of the negativity in your life, to get rid of all those limitations that you put upon yourself and move forward. Moving right along, we'll get back to Lincoln here for a minute. I always do these articles as kind of jumping off points, right? To go to the next place, and things to talk about in envisioning our own life. Humility, ooh, that's a big one. That's a tough one. I don't think we get enough encouragements to be humble. Lincoln did not let his position get in the way of working in the trenches. His objective was so important to him that he did what he needed to do without suggesting it was somehow beneath him. Humility. You know, I like that idea of working in the trenches. Is if things are beneath you to do, that you're unwilling to get involved in them. And it's not forever, not for months or weeks or years or whatever. It's like, I'm going to go wash some dishes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go pick some weeds. Humility. Get it. Get into the trenches from some time. Show somebody how to do it. Get involved. And that helps you to envision the life you want. Envisioning in your life where you can show other people, take time, slow down, show some humility, and show people what you want and where you want them to go. Okay, we're moving right along. But the next one. I always check back and forth if anybody wants to communicate or any thoughts or ideas or questions from the chat room. I know people are there. Okay, let me get back to where I was at about life lessons from Lincoln. I love this. Communication. I'm going to kind of twist this a little bit as we go through this because I just something came to me from Spirit. Good ideas and goals left unexpressed mean little. The ability to communicate them, as Lincoln did eloquently, makes all the difference. And we're not talking just about getting out there and pronouncing what your goals are and what you are to all your family members and all the people you work with and the neighborhood. Because you have to be happy, you have a certain amount of discreet in that way, because there's a lot of naysayers out there to go, yeah, all right, sure, you can do that. Yeah, I believe you. Right. Nah. You know, you don't need those. But I was thinking, and what came to me, saying to the universe, to God, to Spirit, your higher self, this is what I want. This is what I am commanding you to bring me. Oh, that's a strong word, isn't it? Commanding you to bring me. This is what I want. And be clear about what you want. You don't have to have every detail. You know, he has to have green eyes, and he has to be 6'4", and, you know, he has to have this amount of money in the bank. And you don't have to be specific, but you need to communicate what you want. You have to ask. You know, the Abraham Hicks, the books Esther published with the teachings of Abraham, one of the books is Ask and It Is Given. So you have to ask for it. You can't assume, and this is where I get tripped up, and I got tripped up because of my religious training, that God knows all, and God knows everything you're thinking, and God knows everything you want, right? Now, I got tripped up on that one. But the point being is you have to ask. And you have to be consistent. And asking doesn't mean you have to tell your story every day. You know, asking every day for the same thing, right? Don't confuse the universe by continually asking. Okay? Okay, so let me go on with this, and then we'll finish up this article. Maybe there's something else I can, another article, if somebody wants to call in and ask about what Spirit has for them. Okay, remember your ultimate purpose. One of the film's most moving scenes is when General Ulysses S. Grant received the defeated General Robert E. Lee with great dignity. The Union's objective was not to humiliate the South, but to restore the Union. Know your ultimate purpose. What's your goal? What's your ultimate goal in all this? Envision that. And we're going to use these other qualities, right? We're going to use the qualities of humility, compassion. How does that feel? Feel good? So, yeah, not to destroy somebody else. Okay, so next one. Use the power for good, not for ourselves. Okay, the film makes much of the public popularity Lincoln enjoyed. He also had a lot of naysayers, you know that. He did not use that for selfish ends. He used it to end slavery and preserve the Union. Wherever we are in life, we need to use the power we have for the purposes larger than ourselves. Yes, well, that's an interesting statement. And I wonder if you look at politicians, not to be critical of any particular person or people or any particular party, but is it about the betterment of America or the betterment of Canada? Is it about the population, or is it about maybe a small group of people themselves, their own betterment? Ooh, that's an interesting. Why do we do these things? Why does somebody take action? Is it just about self-serving? Okay, so let me get into the final statement about Lincoln and examples of his life and how they apply to us. Okay. People that join me later, what I've been talking about today, and the basic topic was to start with, if you want something, be that. If you want love in your life, be love. Okay? So I've been talking about this whole idea of envisioning the life you want and some of the obstacles. And I've been reading an article, The 10 Lessons from Abraham Lincoln, and how they apply to that, like humility and self-compassion and all of these patience, the big one, right? Patience. Let the universe align things for you. Don't run ahead. You know, I remember the expression about don't drive faster than your angels. If you're asking for angelic help on a trip, don't drive faster than your angels can fly. Okay, that's a joke. But it's true, really, in some level, right? Okay, so let's to the last point. It's 10 Lessons from Lincoln, the last one of the 10 that we've been talking about. The film's closing scene, this is from the movie that was directed by Steven Spielberg, and that's the author of this article from BeliefNet.com. Just went by Evan, whoever Evan is, right? Delivering his second inaugural address, one of the great speeches in human history. He says those magnificent lines that defined his political and spiritual outlook, which can guide us still. So let me just give you the one paragraph that they quote here from his speech. With malice towards none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds, to care for him who shall have borne the battle, and for his widow and his orphan, to all which may receive and cherish a just and a lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations. It's interesting, peace. Notice how he uses these really wonderful expressions to bind up the wounds. Wow, to care for the widow, care for the orphans of those. You know, I wonder now, you know, not to get too political again, I'm going to try to be careful with that one. Do we, you know, we send soldiers off to war. Do we really take care of them, their wounds, the individual wounds and the nation's wounds, the wives, the children of those who have died in war, or those who were crippled or injured? Now, isn't that a priority? Lincoln said that's a priority. Do we take it as a priority? Okay, in that sort of thing. So that's what I've been talking about. So how do you envision your life? How do you envision your helping humanity? What's your picture? And those who've just joined me, and I was talking about a little bit earlier, what's your story that you're writing? What's the story that you write about your life, for the life you want, your future? What is the story you're writing? Okay. Well, let me jump into another subject, because I was expecting calls, and I try to get articles just in case nobody calls in or nobody in the chat room has questions. So if you have questions, I want Spirit to help you with. And remember, I get into not just what's going to happen, like Spirit's predicting things, but how you get there. There's a second part to every question. The first part is, the Spirit sees you getting this or this happening. But the how part is what you have to do to make it happen. Because we can resist and doubt and push things away. And that's a lot of times predictions don't come true, not because the predictor, and I'm not just saying myself, but a lot of people out there who see what the universe, the Akashic records, or what Spirit's seeing into the future for what you need to have and want. And then you have to align yourself with that future. You have to believe it, you have to accept it, you have to envision it, and you have to stay true to it. Because if you let doubt and fear and beliefs get in the way, you push it away. It may come, but you're still going to push it back, push it back, push it back. So, okay, I got a few more minutes, and if anybody wants to call in, or if you want to write questions in the chat room, cool. I had an article I found from BeliefNet. I'm always looking for articles to cover. So, Sharon, maybe I'll do some of this tomorrow, because I'm running out of time here, but real near-death experiences. Now, BeliefNet has a tendency to be very Christian-oriented, so this is really interesting for them to put this in here. These real testimonies of encounters in heaven and hell will shock and amaze you. So that's the lead-up, okay, BeliefNet.com. Okay, the first one is a tunnel, angels, and a pearly white gate. Now, I will kind of set this up a little bit. I really believe that when you do your transition, when you go into the non-physical world, the spirit world, a lot of it is what you believe it's supposed to look like. That to make it easier for you in your transition, it's going to be what you've been envisioning. If your spiritual practices or religious practices a certain way, it makes it easier for you to do the transition if you see it the way you envision it while you were in a physical form. So an interview with the New York Daily News, Krista McGee discusses her face-to-face experience with God that she spent years disbelieving. After a routine medical procedure that went terribly wrong, she slipped into heaven for several minutes, seeing a tunnel, angels, and heavenly pearly gates. After her experience, she no longer fears life or death. She believes her purpose in life is to share her story with others. Now, so that's what her vision was. That's what she felt it was going to be. She died in spirit. God, angels, made it easier for her to make that transition. Follow me? It's what you visioned it to be makes it easier to get there. Now, once you get there, you get a better, greater understanding of the whole thing. This next one, I find this article, this lady named Veronica, a little troubling, but let's go through it anyway. After being struck by lightning in her car, was transported to a place she never wanted to find herself, hell. In an interview featured on listverse.com, listverse.com, she describes a horrifying scene. Demons escorted her into her waiting room. The people that the demons around her carried were screaming in pain. It was very difficult to breathe because of its horrible smell. In addition, snakes were all over the ground, imitating people as they guarded the grounds of hell. After coming out of shock, she was back in her car, and for moments her hands were burning, gripping the steering wheel. Now, did she go to hell like that, or is it something her greatest fear, and she went there? I have a tendency to think it was her greatest fear, and that snapped her back, that I don't want to go through that. I'm going to be a different person. If that's snapping her back into seeing her life from a different point of view and changing her course, it did a great job. And this is something that she set up, or her spirit guides, to kind of snap her into a different place in life. Do I think that there is such a place? Only if we envision it. If only we see it. If that's only some place that we can imagine that we deserve to go to, we'll envision it. I don't know if you believe that or not, or if you accept that concept. And that would explain a lot about near-death experiences where people go to the place they think is hell. It's because that's what they felt their life was deserving. So, but you don't have to come. You don't have to stay there. Even if you, never mind, we won't get into all that. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. We won't go any further down that road. Because let me get into another one. It's a little more positive. Emily Dotson suffered from lupus for years, later resulting in kidney failure, which almost took her life. She explains in her interview featured on SidRoth.org that she was just hours from death if she didn't get to a hospital for kidney dialysis. At the time, she knew the dialysis wouldn't reverse her kidney failure. Believing she was in her final hour, she decided against it, wanting to pass in a place of comfort. As her pain worsened, she began slipping in and out of consciousness. When an authoritative voice, which she believed was God, told her that there was no need for her to die. Okay, obey Matthew 18:19, they said. When she regained consciousness, she was stunned by her discovery. She felt wonderful and began to rejoice. After not being able to urinate, she was able to with ease. Now, you know what? I didn't look up Matthew 18:19. Anybody have it handy? Okay, I'll have to read it later. Okay, I slipped on that one. She felt wonderful and began to rejoice. Not being able to urinate, she trusted God completely and later was miraculously delivered from kidney failure by agreeing with another believer according to the verse. Her gratitude and love for God, said, was just as overwhelming as the miracle itself. So it's a life course. It's a change. It's seeing a spirit that, you know, reflects that energy to you and reminds you you need to change course in life. Okay, so we're almost out of time here. I know those have been listening and being patient with me, and I've been wanting to talk to whoever wants to call in. So I flipped the show back into spirituality because I do want to talk to you, and I do want to help you, and I do want to present information that you request. But again, we're back to this whole idea that not only will you hear what the prediction is or about the other person or the empathic reading, but also what you need to do, what your soul is telling you you need to do, your higher self, the universe. Okay, so it's been fun. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about. I'm not sure what the subject matter will be. I know it's going to be about this idea of inspiring you to live, find your life purpose, and to attract into your life and manifest into your life those things that you want, whatever that may be, whether it's love, whether it's a job, whether it's a new place to live. But it really is all about just being happy, isn't it? I think we can be happy anywhere we're at, in any situation in life. I'm always reminded of Nelson Mandela, who was able to be happy in the worst of circumstances, or have a level of happiness, of self-compassion, self-love, even in the worst of situations. So I'm almost out of time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for those in the archive version of this show who come in and listen to it later. I really appreciate that. Please contact me if I can help you further. through my Blog Talk Radio page, my website, my Facebook page. I'd love to individually coach you on getting there. Thank you. Bye.